بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فنبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر رواه مسلم رحمه الله تعالى إن شاء الله today I would just like to share a few miscellaneous issues that inshallah we can bring into practice in our practical lives. Alhamdulillah, throughout the month of Ramadan, we have been listening to many lectures and bayanat. The objective of these programs, reminders, is so that a person turns his ilm into amal. One is ma'lumat and one is ma'mulat. Ma'lumat means information. And ma'amulat means practices. If a person's ma'lumat and information turns into practice, then this information is beneficial for him. And if it does not turn into practice, then this information will come back to haunt him on the Day of Judgment. It should turn into practice, or it should serve as a means of safeguarding our aqidah and beliefs. So more important than ma'lumat and information is ma'amulat, our practices. Amal se zindagi banti hai jannat bhi jahannam bhi. Amal se zindagi banti hai jannat bhi jahannam bhi. Ye khaki apni fitrat mein na nuri hai na nari hai. Amal se zindagi banti hai. Through our actions, our hereafter is made. Zindagi means this life and also the life of the hereafter. It is made through actions. It is a common trend nowadays, unfortunately, because access to knowledge and ilm has become very easy, that people spend a majority of their time in gaining ma'lumat and information. You will find a person who spends an hour, 2 hours a day watching videos on YouTube. 10 minutes of this sheikh and 15 minutes of this sheikh and half an hour of so-and-so and 15 minutes of so-and-so, and he's clicking different buttons, lying down on his bed. Lying down on his bed. Without any adab, without any respect. This knowledge will go into our ears, but it will not go into our heart. Because we do not have ihtiyaj. We are only listening because it sounds good to our ears. And then when we see that this taqreer or this part of this lecture has become boring, we'll go on to the next one. And then some qiraat, and then a nazam and a nasheed. And the silsila just carries on. Sometimes for an hour, sometimes for 2 hours, sometimes for 3 hours. We will find this in our own lives, right on. Yes or no? Yes. Everyone can testify to this. Even I can testify to this. So we should not make this our objective. This is a fitna. Everything, when it's in its limit, is good, alhamdulillah. So I'm not saying that we should not utilize these sources of gaining knowledge. But within a limit, you can't stay awake at night until 2 o'clock listening to this bayan and that bayan and this nasheed and that nasheed, and fajr time the person is sleeping. He is spending time at night doing something which is mustahab, and this is becoming a means of him omitting a fard. So we should concentrate more on our practice. A person, he listens to 1, 2, 3 hours of lectures a day, and ask him, brother, how much Quran do you pray? He will not even be able to say, I read one quote a day. Why? I don't have time. The time we're wasting listening to this and listening to that and having this discussion and that discussion on this forum and that forum. You have so many forums online and everyone gives their own opinion. They are mujtahid or a mufti giving their own opinion. That much time could be invested. If it is remaining within a limit, with a balance, now and again, that's a different case. But if we evaluate our lives, we will see that our mobile phone or the internet is overtaking our lives. And when we look at our amali life, we will see that we are at the same place where we were 10 years ago. So the ma'lumat and information should turn into ma'mulat. Ma'mulat means practices. So anyway, as I was saying, we have heard so much over the last whole month. So what we need to do now is start bringing these things into practice. If not 100%, 80%. If not 80, 50, but something. There needs to be something that I never used to do this. I listened to a lecture and the speaker, he spoke about so-and-so topic. Let me start this amal from today, inshallah. So in the hadith I recited before you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has taught us a very easy amal, the reward of which is great. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the narrator of this hadith is Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man sama Ramadan, the one who fasts the whole month of Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq. Thumma atba'ahu sittam min Shawwal. And then thereafter he fasts 6 in the month of Shawwal, the month which is adjacent to Ramadan. Kana ka siyam al-dahr. He will be rewarded for fasting for the whole year. Fasting for the whole year. All he needs to do, along with his 30 fast in the month of Ramadan, an extra 6 only. An extra 6 in the month of Shawwal. Allama Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned in his Sharah of Sahih Muslim that it is better that a person he starts these fasts after the day of Eid, because on the day of Eid it is haram to fast. After the day of Eid, he should start these fasts and keep 6 fasts consecutively in one go. But if a person cannot, then he is at liberty to keep these fasts at any time in the month of Shawwal. So just say a person goes to work or university or college or whatever, and he does not feel like fasting on weekdays. Then he can fast on weekends. It will take him 3 weekends and it will be still the month of Shawwal, and he will be rewarded for fasting for the whole year. It's a very easy amal. We have become habituated to fasting. If a person can fast for 30 days, what's an extra 6 days going to do to him? So it's a very easy amal, but a great reward. And the reason being is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is his principle for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ja'a bil hasanah falahu ashru amthaliha. The one who does one good, Allah will multiply it by 10. So 30 fasts in the month of Ramadan. And if the month of Ramadan is 29, alhamdulillah, we were given 30 fasts. But if it was 29, then even then a person will get the reward of 30 fasts. So that's 300. And 6 in the month of Shawwal, 360. And an Islamic calendar only has 360 days. So this person will be rewarded for fasting for the whole year. So it's a very easy amal. We should all make an intention here now that inshallah we will try to keep the 6 fast of Shawwal. And let us make this mahal in our homes. Anything that we practice, we should try to pass it on to those who are in our home. Because when a mahal is created, then each person, he has a sense of encouragement. If you're the only person fasting in your house, you'll find it hard to wake up for suhoor. But if you and your wife are fasting, then she'll wake you up, you'll wake her up. If the children are also fasting, you explain to them the thawab and reward of this, then the whole family will be fasting. Now it will be easier for you to fast. If a person's alone, it's always hard to do something. This is why we pray salah with jama'ah, because it makes it easy. It gives us person a sense of encouragement. So we should take this small amal back home and try and implement it in our homes. 6 fasts in the month of Shawwal, if we can't keep them in one go, then we can spread them out. Will everyone try, inshallah? Inshallah. So from this year onwards, every year we should make this our practice, that every year in the month of Shawwal, with our family, we should fast in the month of Shawwal. And if we bring this in our family, it will be passed on to our relatives, to our friends. Somebody will, you know, maybe phone your wife, and in a conversation, she will inform them that we are fasting. Why are you fasting? What's the reason? So we will pass this knowledge on, that because, you know, we learned in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the one who fasts, he will get the reward of a whole year. So this amal will slowly come into our mu'ashara. And this will then be passed on generation after generation. We will get the reward for it. Man sunna sunnatan hasanatan falahu bihi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the one who starts a good way, then whoever practices this after him, he will be rewarded for this. This is one thing, that we should fast in the 6 days in the month of Shawwal. Another thing which I would shortly like to touch upon, which has nothing to do with this, is that in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is very important, especially for our younger generation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith is mentioned in all the books of Sunan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed by 2 graves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he heard what was taking place in the grave, and he made a comment to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he said, innahuma yu'adhaban. The people in 2 people in these graves, they are being punished. Wama yu'adhabani fi kabir. And they are not being punished for something which is a major sin. Or according to the tashri' that some muhaddithun have given, they are not being punished for something which people see to be something very grave. It is something that people seem to see, according to them, it is something very light. Bala innahu lakabir. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a grave sin. What is the sin that these people were committing? One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that kana la yastatiru min al-bawl. Kana la yastatiru min al-bawl. There are many interpretations as to what this means. One interpretation that the muhaddithin have given is that it means that this person was not particular with regards to urine drops. So when he would visit the lavatory, then he would rush, and many a times his underwear or his clothes would become soiled with drops of urine, because he would not do his istibra and his istinja in a proper manner, in the correct manner. And because of this, if his person's clothes is napak, they're impure, then one of the conditions, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ, for a person's salah to be accepted, is that his clothes have to be pure. His clothes have to be pak. And if they are not, then his person's salah is not accepted. Now you have a person who spends his whole life, and he's not particular in regards to urine drops. He goes to the toilet, and in a matter of a few, you know, half a minute, he's out. And he's, as he's walking out the toilet or going about his daily business, urine drops are still coming out. As you see people who use toilets, you know, normally they go, they stand up, the toilet, the one they're standing up on, I don't know what it's called anyway, barhal. People go and they use these toilets. Sometimes our young boys, they also look at other people and they use these toilets. And they stand up and urinate, and basically after a person finishes, when a person urinates, then drops keep on coming out from his private parts. Sometimes it depends on the person. It all depends on the individual. But it is not something which can be rushed. So when a person has to do his wudu, or he goes to a toilet, then he should time himself accordingly. He should not rush. He should just not walk in and walk out. Because many a times, a person, most of the times, if a person does this, then his istinja is not done properly, and his clothes will become soiled with drops of urine. And because of this, his clothes are now napak, and he does not even realize. He does not even realize, because he's not going to keep checking. And sometimes he cannot even tell that urine drops are coming out. And because of this, once his clothes are napak, as I said, his salah is not accepted. If his salah is not accepted, that means he has omitted a fard. And this will be the means of him being punished in his grave. So, we should all be very, very particular in this regard. A person should not stand up and urinate unless he has a very, you know, legitimate excuse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that once he stood up and urinated. There are many reasons being so, because the floor was dirty. One answer given was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had pain in his knees. So that's a different case. But in general cases, a person should not do so. Because in doing this, his clothes can become impure. He may not do his istinja, etc. properly. So especially we should teach our children from a young age. Young age means from the time they start going to the toilet, 3, 4, 5 years old, we should teach them these masail. Otherwise, they will look at others and they will follow suit. And they will carry on doing this for the rest of their lives. So this is a very, very important mas'ala, that we should make sure that urine drops do not come onto our clothes. Yes, we shouldn't go to extremes, that the person takes so long in the istinja that he even misses his first salah. We shouldn't, this is now going to another extreme. Shak, waswasa. This is another topic altogether. So we shouldn't, once a person, he adopts any method by using tissue paper or by coughing or by walking a certain number of steps, whatever is, you know, it all depends on the individual. And he has itminan and he is sure that now the urine drops have stopped coming out. Sometimes more comes out, sometimes less. It all depends. Sometimes because of the weather, sometimes the person is unwell. Every individual is different. But we must be sure that the urine drops have come. Now your urine drops are coming out and the person is performing wudu. His wudu is not accepted. If his wudu is not accepted, his salah is not accepted. And so if a person goes to the toilet and then he does wudu. Now if he hasn't done his istinja and istibra properly, then his wudu will not be accepted. So he needs to make sure that he is sure that his urine drops are stopped, and he has taken precautionary measures to do so. And then he does his wudu and he will be sure that his clothes are also pure. And this will then, inshallah, make sure that his salah is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another mas'ala which I wanted to touch upon. And lastly, similar miscellaneous, it has nothing to do with the last mas'ala, but something that we can bring into our lives, inshallah. In the month of Ramadan, we all read tahajjud, alhamdulillah. We wake up for suhoor, or we already awake, we read the salah of tahajjud. Obviously, tahajjud is better read after a person goes to sleep. Tahajjud, there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, but the easiest opinion is, the easiest opinion is that any salah read after Isha can be counted as tahajjud. It is better that a person goes to sleep and he wakes up and he performs, because there is more mujahada. He wakes up from his sleep to perform his tahajjud, there is more mujahada. He's exerting more effort. But if people like us who just about wake up for Fajr Salah, if a person, he has the habit in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, he performs tahajjud. Now Ramadan is leaving us. We need to carry on and stick to this ma'amul. And every day after we perform our Isha Salah, wherever we come to the masjid, alhamdulillah. If we miss our Isha, we read at home, we perform our 2 rakat sunnah and our witr. And after this, 2 rakats every day with the intention of tahajjud. 2 rakats every day with the intention of tahajjud. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward us. And my respected Shaykh, Hafidhahullah, he always mentions that a person should do this and then he should make dua that, oh Allah, I should have woken up and read my tahajjud, but I am weak. I do not have the capacity inside me to do so. The night is short, or I'm lazy. A person should talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accept this prayer of mine and give me the tawfiq to perform the proper tahajjud, where a person goes to sleep and wakes up. Inshallah, if we do this, a time will come in our lives when we will be able to perform tahajjud at its best time, when our du'as are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if not, then we will still get the reward of tahajjud by performing after Isha Salah. So we have been regularly performing tahajjud in the month of Ramadan. We should carry on in this ma'amul. If we can't wake up, if a person can wake up, alhamdulillah, this is even better. But in most cases, it is hard. If someone goes to work, if someone is studying, then he finds it hard. So the least we can do after we perform our Isha, read our sunan, read our witr should be read at the end. Read our 2 rakats with the intention of tahajjud, and then we should read our witr and go to sleep with the intention that I will wake up. I will try to wake up. And if we know that we can't wake up, then at least we should go to sleep with the intention of waking up for Fajr Salah. In the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we all come to perform Fajr. After the month of Ramadan, we see the musallis become less, especially in the Salah of Fajr. And it is mentioned in some books that if a person, he has no intention of performing his Fajr, this is similar with any Salah, but especially Fajr, he has no intention. What do you mean by no intention? Fajr is at 5 and his alarm is set at 7. Fajr is at 5 o'clock and his alarm is set at 7. What does this mean? That he has no intention whatsoever of waking up for Fajr. This is basically a person going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explicitly, boldly, that I'm not going to wake up for Fajr. I don't need to wake up for Fajr. So we should not do this. We should make an intention and adopt all the means that we can to wake up. And if after this, if a person doesn't wake up, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And if a person does this, then inshallah, out of 7 days in a week, he will wake up twice. And slowly, slowly, then 3 days, then 4 days, and inshallah, he will become regular. But the condition is that we have the intention. So these are a few very easy a'mal that we can bring into our lives after the month of Ramadan, and inshallah they will bring about much barakah in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon these few advices. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.